Friends, before we begin today's program, I need to update you on the Compassion Radio Summer Challenge. You probably know that summer is usually a time of low average giving for ministries. And that's true of Compassion Radio as well. Yet our operating expenses remain consistent throughout the year. So even as we rightly celebrate 75 years of continuing and uninterrupted ministry and partnership with you, right now we're facing a budget deficit that we just simply can't ignore. So I'll ask you today, can I count on you to make sure that Compassion Radio continues this year and in the years to come? We really need you to stand with us right now. Thanks so much for all you continue to do to help us reach out to the world through great partnership projects, and then to bring you the inspiring news of these projects each and every day. Bless you, friends, and thank you so much for standing with us right now.
Today on Compassion Radio.
Discussion with them was always abstinence, and that's the best way to avoid babies, and try to not feel like you're trapped into selling your body as the only way. Because in most cases, these girls are not having babies because they're going to have sex for pleasure. Right. They are having babies because they have been told this is your only way to make money.
Right.
And in some cases, they were given by their families to provide income.
Welcome to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Today, Bram's wife Sandy talks with Toya Mack about how God has called Toya to mentor, disciple, and teach life skills to young girls in Africa. This is Frank Montenegro, inviting you to stay with us for the second half of their conversation.
You have been working with these children and these medically needy children. What does a day look like for you?
Well, it kind of looks like going into the baby room in the morning and helping feed the kids and play with the kids and change clothes. And then the sickest ones that cannot be in the general population are cared for in another area. And when I go back, I'll be moving into a new house, and then the sickest of the sick will actually live with me in my home on the campus of the children.
So this is a 24/7 type of situation that you'll be living in with these children.
It is a 24/7 type of situation, but I will have a couple days a week that I go out and do the bush clinic, and the nannies at the children's home will help. They'll help all the time, but they'll will especially help those days.
So you've also done a lot of work in refugee camps, and I know that you spent some time here in Uganda doing that very thing.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
So my first time working in a refugee camp was with a school that was built for refugee children from South Sudan, and also working with young girls who have come from South Sudan who need some mentoring and some spiritual discipleship and just practical life skills and encouragement, you know, because they don't have mothers around them. So it's been amazing.
Yeah.
It's been heartbreaking and gut-wrenching to work with them, but it's been really, really awesome also.
Right. So are they able at some point to leave the refugee camp, or are they permanently there?
They're free to come and go as they have the finances to do that.
Okay.
Some do and some don't. So there's a market in the refugee camp. But, of course, the prices are higher because someone has to go out and get these things. Jobs have been created within the refugee camp. So they're pretty free as much as their finances allows them to leave. But most of the people that I'm working with
don't have the finances
to go anywhere. These girls walk almost 2 hours one way to go to school if they have the money to go to school.
If they're able to go.
So
what are some of the things that are that you do practically for them, teaching them what kind of life skills or what kind of things are you working with them for?
We started working on their identity in Christ and helping them to understand that even though they're in this situation, the Lord still loves them. He's not forgotten about them. And to try to find the good in every day because there's so much hopelessness and despair. And then we put four girls in school just this past few weeks, mm-hmm. and we have the funds to put five more in school, but I've got to get the funds over from America. And then the other thing that the girls asked for practical help with was feminine hygiene needs. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to get a donation of reusable pads to share with some of the girls in the group. And the other thing that I'm working on is getting a group to go up and teach them how to make fireless cookers. And this is something that's kind of like an American crock pot is the best analogy. It is not, but that's the best thing that I can give you. So you boil a pot of, let's say, meat and rice or beans and rice. You just heat it until it's boiling. You put it inside of the fireless cooker. You put the cover on. And then when you come home, it's done cooking. You just add your spices and different things so that they're not spending 4 hours trying to cook. Right. So the school starts at 7. They leave at 5 in the morning. School ends at 4. They get home at 6 at night. So if we can help them learn how to make them, they can make them for themselves as well as make them to sell in other places, so that they can have some income.
And what do they make them out of?
It's like, I don't know what the basket material is called. It's a grass and a kind of bamboo that they weave together. And then it is insulated with various things that you can find around, chicken feathers,
just anything,
ripped up, different things that they insulated with. And the insulation is inside of the basket. You put a pot inside, and then the top cover of the basket is also heavily insulated, and you put that on and just leave it and go.
That is exactly like an American crock without the electricity.
Exactly.
Well, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're helping them learn how to do this, or are you?
There's an organization called Farming God's Way that I learned about in Kenya that makes these. And I have found a sister organization that does it in Uganda.
Okay.
So we're trying to get the logistics worked out for them to be able to go up and teach 20 of our girls and then give them the supplies for all 20 of them to have a fireless cooker. And then we can hopefully get them some seed money to get started for future business stuff.
So when you say girls, tell me, what is that? How old is that?
The youngest one that I worked with this time was 17, and the oldest was 22.
Yeah, girls.
They're girls, but the 22-year-old has 3 biological children. Her youngest one was a month old, and her oldest one was around 6-ish. Mm-hmm. And then I have a 17-year-old that had like a 7-month-old baby. And then there are a couple of the girls who have inherited children, either from their own families or from other people who couldn't get out or tried to get out and passed away on the way. So one girl has 7 kids she's taking care of. She's 20 years old.
Wow.
You know, so.
So I know a few years ago, Bram spent some time in Bitty Bitty.
Mm.
And he was talking about that very thing, how that these women and these young women had formed family groups in some ways. And there's no husbands, so they're taking care of each other's children and kind of just protecting each other in that way, becoming a family so that there is some kind of foundation for them at some point. But it seems that it's prevalent in this whole situation with the refugee crisis.
I would agree. There's so many different refugees in this particular camp. This is in Mbepe. There's over 70,000 people, and they're kind of scattered far. So it seems to be clusters of people who get together and create their own families. In this case, these are all girls that are all attending the same church, led by a very young pastor. And then they've created their own little kind of family groups within the church based on where they live.
So these moms that have tiny babies, how do you help teach them that they can live without having more babies? How do you communicate that? I mean, I know there's a lot of cultural things that I'm probably stepping all over when I do this, when I ask this question. But is that a goal for you? Is that something that you want to help them understand that can be avoided?
Mm-hmm. It is something that we discussed, and we'll probably have a lot of ongoing discussions. I also have to be careful because I have an American mindset.
Right.
And cultural differences are very, very huge. And in some instances, the viewpoint of the church may also differ from my personal viewpoint.
Yeah.
So my first discussion with them was always abstinence. And that's the best way to avoid babies and try to not feel like you're trapped into selling your body as the mm-hmm. only way. Mm-hmm. Because in most cases, these girls are not having babies because they're going to have sex for pleasure.
Right.
They are having babies because they have been told this is your only way to make money.
Right.
This is the only way to care for your family. And in some cases, they were given by their families
right.
to provide income. And so...
sold into slavery in some ways.
I don't know that I would say sold into slavery. Sold into marriage in some cases. Definitely used as prostitutes by their family.
Okay.
I wouldn't say sold into slavery. They still are with their families. Their families love them. But mm-hmm. they all kind of feel like... this is the only way, and there's no way out.
Right.
So we discuss abstinence as your first thing. If abstinence is not their desire or is not a... they don't have the ability to say no because some of them don't have a choice when
right.
their superiors are telling them that they must. Then we do talk about condoms and IUDs, and I'm not a big proponent of hormone things in their arms, but we do discuss options that are available through community mm-hmm. projects for
okay.
them to not have kids. But abstinence is always our first thing. And then we have gone a step further, and I have done some training for business things, for them to start businesses. So our last discussion, I charged them with coming up with 3 business plans that they could work as groups together mm-hmm. and figure out things to do. And so I'm in discussions with somebody to see if we can do some microfinancing to be
Perfect.
Able to help them do that so that they have options.
Yeah, so that helps them to be able to provide for their needs without having to sell themselves.
Yes.
Coming up next on Compassion Radio, more with today's guest, Toya Mack.
When everything is right, God says, go. When God says go, His presence goes with you.
My father was a radio broadcaster. He actually started the ministry that we have. He, in essence, passed it down to me, and we've been able to carry it forward. Although we have now changed the focus of the program from essentially devotional now to much more in terms of the global mission of the church, what God is doing around the world, and bringing back those stories.
Hello, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. We have the great privilege of celebrating our 75th anniversary. Compassion Radio is the only completely listener-supported radio program on the air this long. We are not funded by a huge church organization or wealthy benefactor. You are our church. If this broadcast has ever challenged you in your faith, inspired you to serve, or encouraged you in any way to do better in your walk with God, please let us know right now by supporting this daily radio ministry and the international mission projects of Compassion Radio with your prayers and with your financial support. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. And new for this year, you can give right through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you so much for every prayer and your consistent financial support.
Be not shall strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. Shall not hurt thee, I only desire thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine.
Back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
We discuss abstinence as your first thing. If abstinence is not their desire or is not a, they don't have the ability to say no, because some of them don't have a choice when their superiors are telling them that they must. Then we do talk about condoms and IUDs, and I'm not a big proponent of hormone things in their arms, but we do discuss options that are available through community projects for them to not have kids. But abstinence is always our first thing. And then we have gone a step further, and I have done some training for business things, for them to start businesses. So our last discussion, I charged them with coming up with three business plans that they could work as groups together and figure out things to do. And so I'm in discussions with somebody to see if we can do some microfinancing to be able to help them do that so that they have options.
Yeah, so that helps them to be able to provide for their needs without having to sell themselves.
Yes.
Well, Toya, it seems like with all the things that you have going on with these young women that there's a lot of warfare that you're doing on behalf of them. And it's maybe it feels like it's two steps forward, one step back, or three or ten steps back or whatever. But I want to encourage you because I believe that God is using you to really impact their lives and impact the kingdom. And you are teaching them about love in action, and that's really beautiful. I mean, you travel to where they are, you go and you sit with them. You told me at the beginning of our time together this weekend that you actually were living in the refugee camp with them for a time, and that's amazing to me because I don't know that there's a lot of people that do that. I've heard of a lot that go and leave and go, and you know, and it's a back and forth trip. But I mean, I may be wrong about this, but I haven't heard of a lot of Americans, especially missionaries, that will go and just live there and commit to being there with them. And I know that that impacts them greatly. So I just want to encourage you in that because you do hard work, you do hard things, and maybe sometimes it doesn't go noticed. And I know that's not why you're doing it. I do, because I know you and I know your heart is for these girls, for sure. Yeah. And I just want to ask you one more thing. The biggest thing I want to ask you is, what have I not asked you that you want our listeners to know about you and about your ministry?
Oh boy, that's a tough question. I don't think I want people to know so much about me, actually. I think I want people to know that there are people out there that are hurting, and that there are people that are willing to go to them. And I'm not, of course, the only missionary. There's right. lots of us. And so when you have missionaries in your community, first and foremost, pray for them. Pray mm-hmm. for their strength. Pray for their loneliness. Pray mm-hmm. for their understanding from both the people they're serving and the people that they may be ministering with. And try to encourage them through little notes every once in a while when they come home. Mm, it may not good. Be spending time with them is the best thing to do. Right. It may be providing a night away so that they can have some right. time that's good, quiet.
That's good, though, because you're surrounded quite yes. often with people all the time.
Yes. It's really hard to be on the field and people pulling on you all the time, and then you come back and people are pulling on you all the time. So providing a way for them to have time to spend with God and a way for them to just have fun mm-hmm. is sometimes a good thing. But support the missionaries that you know, and even some that you don't know, but maybe you've heard about through your mm-hmm. church or through your friends. And pray for the people that we serve, that their hearts would be touched to hear the word of God and their minds would be able to understand the practical things we try to help them with. Mm-hmm. I think that would probably be my biggest request.
Okay. Well, we'll put that out there to our listeners. And yeah. and I will challenge our listeners to pray for Toya and for mm-hmm. other missionaries. They have similar requests.
Yeah.
And that's a good blanket way to cover them, just to pray for those things that Toya's mentioned. Toya, thank you so much for joining me on Compassion Radio today. It's been a joy to see you again, honestly, and to see your smile and to get a big hug from you, because it's just so sweet to see you and to hear what God's doing.
Well, thank you. And thank you for coming and serving us and loving on us.
It's been a joy for me.
Leading us in worship and praying for us and bringing us stuff.
Chocolate!
Very grateful. Yes, very grateful.
Great. Well, you have a good rest of your trip. I know you got a little more time of respite before you go back on the field.
Yeah.
And we'll just pray for you. I'm going to pray for you right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you for Toya. I thank you for her willingness to share her story with us on Compassion Radio. I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to cover her, continue to give her a time of refreshing, prepare her for the work that she goes back into and her new move and all of the logistics of that, of moving the children and moving her belongings and just getting back into the stride of the things that you've called her to do. Thank you for her service, Lord. Thank you for her heart for Africa, for the people of Africa, for the children of Africa, and for their knowledge of you, and for, Lord, the things that she just pours into them. I pray that you pour into her so that she can pour out into others. We thank you, Jesus, for calling Toya. We thank you for the ministry that you have entrusted to her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
This is Compassion Radio. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800 866-248-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.